Hey there, welcome back to Marketing Matchmaker. We are having a really interesting conversation today with Scott Martyr.
Mater.
Mater, thank you. I am terrible at last names.
Oh, well, no, with my last name, trust me, nobody gets it right. I should have
Mine
warned you. I should have
either.
warned you. I should have warned you before we hit record.
Totally fine. Mine either. Quite honestly, nobody can pronounce Tamborski either. So
I was
I've
gonna say
got it
Tamborsky, that's pretty straightforward. I understand who that was. I was a school teacher for 16 years, so I got much better at last names.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, my friends, as Scott and I have started our conversation, I want to do a quick introduction into who he is. Scott and his wife, Carrie, took inspired stewardship as a business to serve Christian men and couples that are struggling to live out their calling. They work to help align the way you use your time, your talents, and your treasures so that you can identify and live fully authentic lives that allow you to authentically live your calling, serve others, and provide for your family. As certified human behavior consultants and members of the John Maxwell team, they focus on helping you understand yourself, understand others, and through that understanding, build the kingdom. In 2017, they took the business full time, offering assistance through one-on-one coaching, speaking, and workshops. His book, Inspired Living, assembles the puzzle of your calling by mastering your time, your talents, and your treasures, was published by Morgan James in July of 2024. So it's not released yet.
It'll be released in
In
July.
July of 2024, as I re read that.
The bio is written so it can be permanent.
Exactly. Exactly. I get that. Okay, my friend. So tell me, I love reading bios, and I also love giving my guests an opportunity to say it from your own point of view. Tell me who you are, what you do, and who you serve.
So, the truth is that most of the folks that come to me for help generally think they have a time or a money problem. My joke that I tell everybody is the truth is it's never a time or a money problem. It's a talent problem because it's how we handle ourselves that allows us to handle our time and our money. So most of them are kind of struggling. They're in that in between or stuck phase where they know there's something that they want to be doing, that they should be doing, that they be, they're driven to do. They maybe have even started it as a side hustle or a beginnings of a business or something else. But a lot of times they've got golden handcuffs with a corporate job or a day job that it's a good job. It's providing for their family. It's giving them a lot of things that they love and that they want, but it's also not fully fulfilling them. They know that there's more that they're supposed to be doing, and they're really not sure how to transition from where they are to where they want to be. And so what we do is work with folks to begin to align that, first identify it if you haven't fully cleared it up yet. What is the actual dream? What's it going to look like? What's the next step? What's the transition? And then begin to align your time and your money so that you can actually make that transition in a way that's successful, that allows you to thrive, that provides for the family, that takes care of all of those things that we usually have on our back, quite frankly. That's usually what's holding us in place. That's what's got us stuck is how do I get from here to there without letting everything fall? Because let's face it, today's world, we've all got a million balls in the air and it's really easy to let one of them drop. And so what we do is help people make that transition without dropping at least any of the important balls.
True story there, my friend. That is such, and I think it is so relatable to everyone in my audience, especially as entrepreneurs, because while those that have golden handcuffs have specific, hours of operations, entrepreneurs are at it 24/7, like
Your hours
very
of
rarely.
operation are all the
Exactly. They very rarely get to turn it off and focus on what it is that they're passionate about. And I've actually been discussing this in this podcast a lot about burning out because I had that happen to myself in my own business, right? A complete burnout, which I often think happens when you lose sight of your dreams and like where you want to go with this, why you started your business in the first place. So, question, how Can you give our audience a couple of tips on how to get out of their own way and find the time and money to do what they're really passionate about doing?
Yeah, the first step is, you actually just said it, it's getting back in touch with the why, or what was the passion in the first place? What is that dream? What is the thing that drives your engine? Now, here's the truth. You know, as an entrepreneur, as a solopreneur especially, but any type of entrepreneur, there's going to be things that you have to do just because you're the one that has to do them. You don't like to do them, but it has to be done. And you've got that hat right now, you know,
right.
That's just a fact. So I'm not talking about, oh, you know, you can get rid of all of the tedium and you'll live your dream and never have to do anything you don't want to do. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am talking about getting in touch with, why did you actually decide you wanted to do this? What was the emotional driver? A lot of times we go into business because, you know, people will say things like, well, I'm tired of, you know, having someone else tell me what to do. And then they get the world's worst boss themselves because they're telling them what to do. Or they'll, you know, I'm tired of having a J-O-B. I want to have some flexibility around my time and around what I get to do and those sorts of things. And then they create a job that, like you said, is 24/7, 365 days out of the year.
Yeah.
And they've really just created their own job that now they own.
Absolutely.
But it's still a J-O-B.
Absolutely.
Know? And so it's getting back in touch with, hey, what is those things that you wanted? What are the things that you wanted the business to look like and why? And then the next tip is to do what, there's a couple of ways you can do it, but I'll give you a quick one that's easy and everyone can do it. Do what I call a 15-minute miracle. So what this is really simple. Take a sheet of paper, and paper, for those of you that are younger, is something that you write on with a pen. It's, you know, it looks like this. You can do it on a phone or a spreadsheet or something, but honestly, just take a sheet of paper, write the times in 15 or 30 minute increments down the left-hand side of the page from kind of when you get up until when you go to bed, and then set a little timer, a vibration on your watch or on your phone that goes off every 15 minutes, every 30 minutes. And when it goes off, just real quickly jot down, what did you do in the last half hour? What did you do in the last 20 minutes? You don't have to capture every detail. This is not about doing a invasive, horrible audit of, well, I spent 1.2 seconds doing this and I spent 32 seconds. No. I'm just broad strokes. I spent the last 30 minutes, most of it I was looking at Facebook. Write that down. Or last 30 minutes, I was on a client call. Okay, jot that down. Whatever it was that you were doing, capture that and do that for, let's say, a week. And then go back through it and start highlighting and looking for patterns. What are you spending the bulk of your time on? What are you doing during the day? What are you actually working on? What are you not working on and avoiding? You know, what are you filling your time with that maybe is, oh, let's say less than productive, if that makes sense, or perhaps distracting? I look at what we call the Eisenhower matrix, which kind of has four quadrants, which they go from important to not important, and
right,
from urgent to not urgent, right? Most of y'all have heard of that. And you know, important and urgent, not urgent, but important, not urgent, not important. And what would the other one be? Not important, but urgent, you know, that
right,
kind of the four categories. And kind of think through, which of these things fit in which of these categories? What am I doing? What am I not doing? What should I start saying no to? What should I start eliminating? What should I start doing less of? Because believe it or not, before you can fill your time with things that you actually want to be doing, 99.99999, however many times you want to go, percent of us have to get rid of some stuff that we're currently doing that we shouldn't be doing or don't want to be doing. That we're filling our time with stuff that honestly, when you look at it, you're like, really? I spent that long doing that? Oh my goodness. You know, it's always eye-opening. I've never had anyone do this and not come back and go, I cannot believe in a week I spent fill in the blank number of hours doing fill in the blank.
You right. know?
And it's different for all of us, but we all have those things. We all have those things that are currently pulling us away from the things that we're really trying to grow and make live and put energy into, and it's sucking our energy out of us. So now when we get to the things that we want to be doing, we're exhausted and we can't actually do them because we've wasted all of this energy over in these other places.
That is so true. It's something that my coach has me do probably quarterly, because I think we start and we're like, okay, we know, and we're going. And then all of a sudden those old habits creep back in and you're like, okay, we have to reassess. What are you actually doing with your time?
And honestly, it not only is it something you need to do periodically for that reason, because you can regress, but honestly, you'll find new things.
Yes.
You'll find new stuff that you're like, well, used to, that was okay. But now with my life where it is today, that doesn't fit anymore. I need to get rid of it. I need to transition it away. By the way, this exact same sort of activity is what you can do with money, right? It basically sitting down and auditing, where is your money going?
Yeah.
You know, go through it.
And
okay,
if
I'm spending money here.
If we want to draw back to this podcast, it's what you can do with marketing. I've had
Absolutely.
People do the same thing with marketing to understand, where are you spending your time in marketing? What is being productive? What do you need to keep? What do you need to throw away?
Right. I had a client that was spending about $1,000 a month on one particular marketing channel and about $170 a month on a different marketing channel, but he had no idea which ones were working. And I basically just said, well, why don't you give them a code or something that they can tell you and you'll know where they're coming from. And he's like, oh yeah, that's easy. So did it. And within a couple of months, he's like, okay, over the last 3 months, I've gotten 90% of my clients from the $170 thing. And like, you know, 10% of my clients from the $1,000 thing. I think I know what to do. I'm like,
well, that's
kind of obvious.
That's the thing about, especially, I think with all of these topics, right? Whether it's time, money, or marketing, so many people respond off of feeling. Like they feel like they're productive, or they feel like they're doing a lot of work. But when you sit down and in marketing, they feel like the $1,000 one was working.
Well,
better.
I'm paying $1,000. It has to be working better.
Exactly. But when you sit down and actually break it down and look at it and like, look at what you're doing, how you're spending your time, how you're spending your money, and how you're spending your marketing, you may be completely surprised at what actually is working for you.
Yeah, it's eye-opening when you do an audit, you know, it's really what it is, right?
Yes.
Of time, of money, of marketing, of particular product lines. If you're, you know, if you have several product lines, whatever, you can slice it however you want to. The concept is still the same, which is you put a plan in place, you've executed on that plan in some way, then you need to review what actually happened, reflect on those results, revise the plan, and then circle back and do it again, right?
Yeah.
That's a big framework that I use for a ton of stuff that I do with clients, because it's honestly how you get the incremental improvement and grow over time. Because so also often we're looking for that massive change. We're looking for that thing where we can, you know, our life goes from 0 to 100.
We're looking for the easy button.
The easy
right?
button.
Remember
it
the easy
work.
Button. Like everybody's looking for that. And that's not a reality in life.
That very seldom happens. I mean, honestly, even the people that you think of as, oh, they're an overnight success. 99.9. No, they're not. They've been working 40 years to become an overnight success.
Exactly. And they may position, because I see that positioning a lot on social media, especially. You know, I ran $5 in ads and made $1 million, whatever the thing was. And it might have been true for that one piece, but what they're neglecting is the 40 years it took them to get to that one piece.
Well, and in the case of the $1 million launches, because you see those in the online world all the time. And I love, you know, my question always when someone tells me, oh, I had a $1 million launch, is net or gross?
Right. That too.
Because it's always gross. They're not talking about what they actually put in their pocket. They're talking about the revenue that came in.
Yeah.
And if you had a $1 million launch and made $1 million in revenue and it cost you $1.5 million to do it,
get there,
you lost money.
Right?
You know?
Yes.
I don't actually care what your gross was. I want to know what your net was. What did you actually put in your pocket of the business is what we need to talk about. Marketing's the same way. You know, people look at it as an expense. Well, it's not an expense if it's generating more revenue than it costs you. It's actually something that you can, you know, benefit from.
Yeah, exactly.
But the only way you know that is if you actually look and check and find out and measure it in some way.
And that is so true. And not only is marketing marketing is an investment in your business if done right.
If done well.
And on top of that, it's a requirement, because if you don't market your business, nobody knows you're there. And if they don't know you're there, they're not buying from you. And if they're not buying from you, what are you doing? So yeah, I completely agree. And I love this, the outline that you gave that made it very simple, that 15-minute miracle that just made the process simple to understand. That's always my goal on this channel, is to help people step into their business and their marketing in a way that's easy and simple and understandable for some people.
And yet again, applied consistently over time, that makes massive change, because that's the, you know, the first time you do it, you eliminate a few things, and then some other things come in, and then you do it again and something else happens. Money, the same way. You do it once and then you do it again. Marketing, the same thing. You do it once, then you do it again. So it's that balance between, you know, doubling down on what works and putting time and energy in that. And then, like, what I tell people to do is experiment in the margins. You know, do 10% experiment and 90% core stuff that you, I know this works, but play in the 10%, because every once in a while, you're going to come across something that's like, oh, wait a minute, this works even better. Now that's my new core, and I'll experiment with the margins again.
And I think that, again, time, money, marketing, business, doesn't matter. That's a very good philosophy to implement within your life. So, question, as you've been building your business, I know you took it out on your own in 2017. How did you do it? How did you create that successful business that every coach out there is looking for?
So go backwards. You know, again, what we just said, right? It's not, it didn't happen in 2017.
Right?
It actually happened in 2011. Because what I did is I started the business on the side. I had a corporate job. I was a high-end executive, made really good money, but I was also flying all around the country, working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. I think I averaged 62 hours a week in 2011. You know, doing all of the things that you have to do when you're leading a big team and have a budget of millions of dollars and all of those fun things. And it was fun. I really loved the job, but I also knew that the parts of the job that I most loved was developing others, was pouring into the leaders on my team, was growing people, was doing all of that stuff. That's also what had resonated with me when I was a school teacher. I did that for 16 years. So I was like, how can I do more of that and less of some of this other stuff that wasn't so fun? Well, I could start a coaching business. And at the same time, my wife and I were going through our own financial struggles. I had been doing a deep dive on productivity and trying to understand better how to manage time, because I was having to teach other people how to do it. And see earlier comment about working 62 hours a week. I wanted to get that down to a more manageable level.
Right.
So I was doing all of this work and all this study, and I started having people saying, hey, can you help me do what you're doing? Because I got my 62-hour week down to a 40-hour work week, and I was the only one in my position that was actually working the right amount of time. Everyone else was working tons of overtime, so everybody's like, how are you doing that?
Right.
I started teaching other people. I started that on the side as a coaching business. I was calling clients from hotel rooms, you know, via Zoom, and, you know, at night, because I'm on a
dirt,
job site, you know, out in the road. And it's like, hi, how are you doing? You know, that's where virtual backgrounds are great, so that people don't realize that you're in the, you know, in the hotel room or whatever. And you're doing all of this conversation. And I started growing the business. And you'll notice 2011 went full time in 2017.
Right. Yeah.
In the meantime, my wife and I set things up financially where we could live on less than I was currently making. We, you know, paid off debt, did other things, set money aside. We started investing in the business. I started learning more about how to market, how to grow my business, how to network with others, how to do these things. And as the business kind of went up and as our needs went down, eventually that line crossed and we said, okay, we can go full time now.
Yeah.
You know, it's time. And that's when we went full time in 2017. Realistically, I probably could have done it about 2 years before I did mechanically. But as my wife said, I'm very conservative when it comes to making these sorts of leaves. You know, she's actually the one going, go ahead. We'll be fine. Go ahead. And I'm over here going, oh, I think a little longer. Eventually, we got to the point where we both agreed. And that's where we went full time in 2017. So it's, again, the event is 2017. The preparation started 6 years before that.
Yeah. So how did you market your business in the early days? What were you doing that was bringing in those clients?
So the first couple of years, I didn't. Is the answer. It was strictly people that, you know, already knew me, word of mouth, friends and family, you know, somebody that I was working with would introduce me to somebody else, that kind of thing. And I actually joined an organization called Coach Connections. I'm now the head mentor for that organization. We actually help train other financial coaches how to launch successful coaching businesses. So as I'm working with that organization and joined them, I began to look at things a little differently. So we talk about a framework called VCP, visibility plus credibility, lifted to the power of time equals profitability, right?
Yeah.
You know, simple idea. You hear about that in BNI and other groups. Yeah. We talk about the same sort of language. And it's like you said earlier, the first step is visibility, right?
Right.
People had to know I exist. So I started doing some marketing and I tried a bunch of different things. I ran some ads and I did that and I did this. For me, I found that actually networking and identifying referral partners was actually, for me, the best way to do it. So I began to think about, well, who's my ideal client? Who else are they talking to that they need help from, but they're not doing what I do?
Right.
So in my case, believe it or not, hairdressers turned out to sometimes be a great one. People tell their hairdressers all sorts of things.
I love that.
Marketing people. Yeah, no, it's people are like, really? Hairdressers send you referrals?
I'm
like,
uh-huh. Outside the box. Because most people, when they think about networking and referrals and that kind of thing, they're thinking that very linear. Right. Who else? But yeah, I love that.
If you're a financial coach, you're thinking accountant, CPA, financial advisor.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly.
That's all that they think about. It may be insurance person, you know, maybe that. But again, if you're a financial coach and you work with business owners, marketing people are a great person to talk to.
Absolutely.
Beyond CPAs, go a little, you know, kind of circle out another layer. Human resource people sometimes is a good one, depending on the nature of your thing. If you're working with individuals, you know, if you're working with moms or couples, moms groups are good places to go. You're working with entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurial groups are a good place to go. So not just like your chamber of commerce. I'm talking entrepreneurial clubs, entrepreneurial meetups, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you begin to identify these buckets of places where my ideal client, and of course, I kind of left out that step. The first step is figure out who you actually want to work with. I'm going to kind of assume that everyone's done that. But the number of people that will tell you, you know, who do you work with? Oh, I'll work with anybody.
Exactly.
That means you work with nobody. Okay.
Yep. That is a theme throughout my entire podcast. If you're trying to talk to everybody, anybody, nobody's listening.
Nobody's listening.
You have to be specific.
You have to begin to identify. And I would argue beyond just specific in terms of demographics. So a lot of times it's easier. You got to think of the psychographics, right?
Yeah. Those are more important.
We would get along great.
Absolutely.
We resonate perfectly.
I mean, honestly, psychographics are so much more important than demographics because those are the pieces that you're actually going to adjust. Those are the struggles that you're helping them with. So if you're not
what's
really
more,
super clear about those, you can't
it's
speak
how they recognize that you potentially have a solution to that problem.
Yeah.
Because if I can't describe how you think about both your problem and your transformation, and I always tell people those are two sides of the same coin. We're describing the same thing. We're just describing it two different ways.
Yeah.
You know, I feel stuck versus I want more freedom.
Right.
Really the same underlying emotion. You know, you just one is described as an aspiration, the other is described as something that's holding you back. And you need to understand both. You need to understand that language. And then once you get clear on that, so now you know the who and you know how they talk about what they want and what their dreams are, and you also know how they describe what keeps them up at night, automatically they're listening to what you're saying going, this person gets me. they understand something about me, I'm at least going to entertain the possibility of having an additional conversation. You know, I'll listen. If it's generic speak, it's noise. They don't even hear it. Not
there's so much noise out there today in general, also that
it's just lost.
It gets lost. The more specific you can get on your target market and what you do, that's why I always ask who you are, what you do, who you serve. Mm-hmm. Those are the three most important things when it comes to your business and marketing. You have to be authentic to who you are. You have to know what it is you do, what problem you solve, and you have to know who it is you solve it for.
Right. And so as I began to work with those referral partners, I identified what I call triggers, which are things that you can either see, hear, or otherwise observe about your particular client that might mean they're a good fit for me. You know, it's things that they say in conversation with you. It may be a life event that they go through. It may be whatever. You know, if they're talking about, man, I wish I could quit my job, might be worth me having a conversation with them, you know.
Exactly.
Or you know, I'm really struggling to grow my business.
Again.
Okay, tell me more about that. You know, but that might be a good thing. And then I just teach those people how to make a really quick, simple introduction, which is, you know, ask their permission, obviously. Don't just do this cold, but say, please. Hey, Jennifer, is it okay if I send your information to Scott? He works with a lot of people that are that are feeling the same way you're feeling. Might be worth y'all having a conversation. If they say yes, make that introduction. Now, I'm the guy that has to own follow-up at that point. And if I don't follow up with that person, I'm the schmuck. You know, it's on me.
True story. So,
And because a lot of times people are, you know, they're like, oh, well, just give them my card. Nobody calls somebody, gave them a card. It doesn't happen. I mean, very, very seldom does that happen. But if you're making that introduction, most people are going to say, yes, it's okay to make the introduction. And most people are actually going to follow up and have that initial conversation. Now, you still have to have a powerful conversation and do that, you know, onboarding and all of that. Over time, as I began to work with more clients, I began to add credibility pieces. So that's visibility, right? Credibility is, you know, testimonials. Credibility is, you know, getting particular, sometimes a certification and for some things is useful. Honestly, for coachings, it's not as useful as a lot of coaches think it is, but it can be, you know, that kind of thing. Different things, going on podcast is a credibility tool because somebody's interviewing you, you must be an expert. You're writing a book is a credibility tool, you know, all of these things. And usually credibility also adds to your visibility, but it's positioned a little differently than visibility is more broadcast, where credibility is more authority building.
Right.
And as you add that over time, what I've discovered is, for me at least, that has been much more fruitful than a lot of the other kinds of marketing that I see coaches doing.
Yeah.
You know, even when they're posting on Facebook and doing other things, a lot of times it's really, you know, it's hire me, hire me, hire me, hire me. And that doesn't really build visibility or credibility, either one.
Yeah, very true. Very true. I love that because I do when we, during this podcast and also when I work with clients, we discuss the different types of marketing, and networking is a type of marketing.
It is. Absolutely.
It is a way to market yourself. And it's a way that, especially as you're getting started, is incredibly important when you don't have that financial lift to look at scaling, right? To look at running ads or building funnels or doing those automated type of things. That's a scaling method. That's a method to bring more people in. When you're first getting started, getting out there, finding collaboration partners, finding networking referral partners, those kind of things are going to be key to really creating a successful business.
And it lets you test your messaging. You know, when we get back to that psychographics, it lets you play with different ways of saying it until you find the ones that resonate and actually attract the right people. And then, like you said, now running ads and creating a course or a product or this sort of, now you're scaling or adding fuel to the fire. Yeah. And I will say, it also depends as a business. Now, for me as a coach, you know, I have a certain level that I want my business to be at.
Yeah.
I don't want to necessarily scale it to where now I have to add a whole bunch of staff and anything. That's my business.
Right.
There's another coach is like, no, I want to scale it and add staff and do all of that. okay, then you're going to do something different than I might do over time because you have a different need in terms of scalability too. So I think it's important Absolutely. That people identify, you know, we're back to the why part. What is it you really want your business to look like when it grows up?
Yeah.
You know? And you can always shift that and change that, but you got to know it up front.
You do. And I think it does evolve and change as we grow and evolve Absolutely. As people and business owners. When I started my business, it's gone through many variations, but the last decade I've spent running a digital marketing agency that I decided was not my joy. It's not mm-hmm. what gave me joy. And ended up burning me out almost to the point where I went back and got one of those golden handcuffs, mm-hmm. The JOB because I was so exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did realize is that I love this. I love communicating and connecting with my clients and working through processes and working through marketing techniques and working through ideation and all of that kind of stuff that comes along with
right
that business owners need. Mm-hmm. So yes, I.
But it's more than just the digital grind of being a digital marketer kind
exactly. of thing. You also get to be so much more selective when you do something like this. When you're a coach or you're a consultant, you get to be more selective about who you work with. When you're mm-hmm. running a big business, an agency kind of thing, you don't.
It's a lot harder to get to the point where you can be that selective because you've got a constant burn that you've got to fill.
Not only that, but you have people that you're paying.
Yeah. That's part of what I mean by the burn. I was just being more abstract.
Exactly.
It's not only does your payment of your paycheck depend on it, but so does Bob and Susie's and oh, by the way, their two kids and their mortgage payment and all of that. So
absolutely. So I think it's incredibly important as we grow our business that we realize if it's not the way we want it, we change can pivot it. Yeah. Which is where people like you and I come in, right? To help them realize if it's not what they want, we can change it.
Right. Right.
So your book is coming out July 2nd because this podcast will drop in March. So tell the audience about your book. What is it? Why do they want to buy it?
So I wrote Inspired Living I'm already talking about it as my first book because I'm already working on the second one.
That's awesome.
It's just one of the, I've discovered that, oh, wow, I can't actually do this. So I hate writing, by the way. So everyone who's like, oh, I'll never write a book because I hate writing. I found a way to speak a book. Okay. So
nice.
You can still figure out a way to do it, even if you hate writing. So what I did is I put together a lot of those frameworks that we were talking about earlier about both things like, for instance, the 15-minute miracle is in there for time and for money and how to kind of identify for your time, your talent, and your treasures, what is holding you back from living out that passion. And so it starts actually with kind of a four-part framework of how we can identify our passion, identify our calling, identify the directions we want to go. I kind of go through those exercises. And then we dive into time, to talent, and to treasures and do some exercises to identify and start weeding out some of that stuff that maybe is in your way so that you can begin to grow and build on that. And so anyone who's in that area where they're feeling held back, they're feeling a little stuck, they know there's something they're supposed to be doing, but at the end of the day, it's kind of like, how do I get from here to over there? Like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
This kind of will help you at least get a jump start on that without necessarily having to hire a coach or, go spend a lot of extra time. It should be a pretty quick read for most people. It's about 240 pages. So it's long, but it's long because it's got a lot of exercises and things in it. So the goal is to go through it and actually do the work as you go. So for most people, I would expect it would take them about a month to go through it full and do all of the exercises and do the work. But I really think it'll make a big difference in kind of where you're at and get you moving towards living a more inspired life.
That's awesome. I am super excited about your book coming out. So for those in the audience that are looking to connect with a coach, whether they're in corporate or they're an entrepreneur that are looking for someone that can help them with time and money, how do they connect with you?
So I actually set up a landing page just for your listeners. So if you go over to inspiredstewardship.com/matchmaker, it's got a landing page for you. I've got some free resources that you can just download, get a hold of for free. There's actually a place there if you want to set up a 30-minute call and just have a conversation. No pressure. I am not one of those, you've got to sign up now to get this thing. Ugh, I hate that. It's a coaching thing and it's irritating. I think it gives coaching a bad name. You know. And then also there's actually some information about how you can pre-order the book or where you can get more information on that. A little bit about my podcast. It's all set up there. So kind of where folks can go as deep as they'd like or just take advantage of the free resources. Get those to get you a jump start, and that's fine too.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show, Scott. I will have that link in the show notes for the audience so that they can go there and connect with you. For those of you that are looking to grow your business, increase your revenue, and scale your impact, we are here to help you, whether it's people like Scott or people like myself. Don't feel like you have to go it alone. That's why we're here, so that we can help you get to where you want to go. We will see you on the next episode. Thank you for listening to the Marketing Matchmaker podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love to hear your feedback. Please head over to Apple iTunes and leave a review so we can hear from you. And if you are a coach, consultant, or online course creator who are looking to grow your business, increase your income, and scale your impact, connect with me at yourmarketingmatchmaker.com. I look forward to hearing from you.